God in you, the work of the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I'm really excited to share with you today about how the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, how the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. Or we could give this the subtitle as When You Haven't Got a Prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. If you have ever visited other countries and cultures, you probably know that a lot can get lost in translation. I found some signs in foreign countries where these signs were translated into English, and some things got lost in translation. At an Asian restaurant, there's a sign that says, check your temper at the door. Probably a pretty good idea. This next one is all too true at a Copenhagen airport. We take your luggage and send it in all directions. At a Budapest zoo, please do not feed the animals. If you have any suitable food, give it to the guard on duty. At a supermarket Hong Kong, for your convenience, we recommend courteous, efficient self-service. An advertisement by a Hong Kong dentist says, teeth extracted by the latest Methodist. And here's my favorite one of all. It's at a Hong Kong tailor shop. Ladies may have a fit upstairs. Things get lost in translation. In our personal prayer life, we need a translator. We need somebody who knows our language and knows the language of heaven. We need an intercessor and an interpreter. And according to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, that is the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 is sometimes called the Holy Spirit chapter of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 20 times in this chapter. In fact, let me go back and get a kind of a running start leading up to our text. In verse 2, the Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death. In verse 4, the Spirit fulfills the requirements of the law in us. In verse 6, the Spirit gives life and peace. In verse 11, God will raise us up from the dead by the same Spirit that indwells us. Verse 13 tells us that the Spirit helps us and puts to death the deeds of the body. Verse 14 tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Verses 15 and 16 tell us the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a believer. In verse 23, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the redemption of our bodies. And in verses 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. So this morning, I want us to look at the prayer ministry of the Holy Spirit. And first thing that we need to do is realize the problem. It's a problem that we all have. You notice the text begins with likewise, or in the same way. So this obviously is referring to the preceding context. In the same way, Paul says, of what I was just saying. Well, what was he saying? What was he talking about just previous to this? He's been talking about our hope and our future glory. We have hope that someday we will receive a new body. We have hope that someday this fallen creation will be made new. And the fact that these things are a reality in our future helps us to persevere in life. Now, likewise, or in the same way, the Holy Spirit is our intercessor, and he prays on our behalf. And so that should encourage us in our prayer life. But the main point he makes at the beginning of verse 26 is that we are weak. Paul says the Spirit helps our weaknesses. I like it. He doesn't say the Spirit helps your weaknesses, as if we are weak, but Paul was strong. Paul needed the Holy Spirit as much as anyone else. Now here's the thing, we all know that we ought to pray, but we don't always know what we ought to pray. We don't always know what to say. We don't know how to pray as we should. We can say that prayer is a duty and prayer is a delight, but sometimes prayer is difficult. Now, when it says we don't know what to pray for as we should, I don't think that Paul is saying we don't have any idea of what to pray for. Because in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a template of the kinds of things that we are to pray about. In fact, this is just an incredible moment in the lives of the disciples that they caught Jesus praying. And they were blown away to watch a man so skilled in his craft. They had never heard anybody pray like this. They had never heard anybody pray with such power and authority as Jesus. There was something about the way he prayed that was so radically superior to anything else that they had ever heard that they pleaded. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus grabbed that teachable moment with both hands. And he gave them a prayer template, a prayer picture, and some prayer promises. But he saved the best to last. He didn't give them the real punchline until the end of the message. And we've been studying the Lord's Prayer on Wednesday nights, and we've been looking at it from Matthew's gospel. And I was looking at it in Luke. And it's interesting here that after the Lord gave that prayer to his disciples, in the context of that, he says, if then you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what we need to do in our prayer life is we really need to pray to the Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray, to help us pray. He's the only one that can really teach us how to pray like Jesus prayed. He will make it possible, Jesus said, for you to pray the way that I do. And as with the early disciples, it is a watershed moment in our life when we genuinely ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus answers our sincere request in much the same way he answered the request of those early disciples, those first century followers. He points to the person of the Holy Spirit. The better we get to know the Holy Spirit, the more relevant and effective our prayers and our lives will become. So rather than praying under our own influence, we are to pray under the influence of the Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying here in Romans, I believe, is that life sometimes hits us hard. Sometimes life is difficult. We face hardships in life, and we don't know exactly how to pray. We can't put it into words. We don't know specific things to pray for. I think all of us have been there at one point or another. And the point mentioned in verses 22 and 23 is that we live in a messed up world. Sin has left its disfigured mark on this world and upon us. And we are weak and we are fallen and we are frail. And the problem is we don't always know the mind of God. We don't know what is best for us. We don't know what is best for our family. We don't know what is best for our business. Oftentimes we don't know what's best for our church. We have a limited perspective. We don't know how to pray as we should. How can we really know if what we are praying is what God wants or not? How do we know if that's God's will? Other times we just can't seem to put the words that we want to say into it because we feel such pain and our struggle is so real and our confusion is so great. We don't know what to pray. We don't know what to say. We haven't got a prayer. There are moments like that when you haven't got a prayer where you can hardly pray at all. I think this is especially true when we are facing problems with the people closest to us in life. I mean, the closer you are to someone, the harder it is to pray for them and their situation. The more you care, the harder it is to pray. But the good news is that prayer is for the weak and the helpless. Our weakness is the reason why we should pray. I mean, that's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of prayer anyway. That's one reason we shouldn't try to impress God or others with our prayers. We just need to be honest with God. A Hebrew scholar, Dr. John Duncan, was a famous professor at Edinburgh University back in the 1800s. He was known as Rabbi Duncan, although he wasn't a rabbi. He just knew the Hebrew scriptures so well. And his students wondered what his personal prayer life was like. What language did he pray in? He knew so many, even ancient ones. So two students decided one night they would find out how he prayed. They went to his place and they listened outside his door late at night to see if they could hear him praying before he went to bed. They expected to hear some great Hebrew rhetoric. But the great scholar, when he got on his knees, this is what they heard. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity. Help me, Lord, come to thee. We need to realize that God is attracted to our weakness. Our pride and thinking and our own strength is something that really repels God. God gives grace to the humble. So the problem is that we are weak. But the end of verse 26 gives us the solution, and that is the partner. We have a divine prayer partner. Several times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in connection with our prayer. The Apostle Paul understood Spirit-generated prayer. He knew that the only way he could get his prayers off the ground was by supernatural assistance. And so he said, for example, here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The key element of successful prayer is the presence and the motivation of God, the Holy Spirit. Paul identified the principle when he told the Ephesians to pray in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit doesn't just mean speaking in tongues. It can mean that, but I think there's more to that. And while the Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues would be included, there is much more to praying in the Spirit, as we'll see. I'm going to break this down for you today. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 is another verse that we find that we're to pray in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. But ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, both of these verses tell us that we are to pray in the Spirit. We are to pray in the Holy Ghost. And let's look at praying in an unknown language, another tongue, as Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. He says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." He said, "I'll even do this when I sing, when I worship. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also." What Paul is referring to here is his own experience and a private use of tongues. I pray in my spirit means to pray in tongues with one's own spirit under the impulse, the influence, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So the believer's spirit prays as the Holy Spirit gives the motivation to do so. Praying in tongues on a regular basis will build and strengthen your spiritual life because you are speaking in a spirit on a spiritual level. So when spirit-filled Christians use what we call here a prayer language in private times, the Holy Spirit is actually praying through them in perfect agreement with God's character, His desire, and His purposes. Although you don't understand what is being communicated, you don't understand what you are saying, you can be sure that the language expresses exactly what's needed. praying in the Spirit is some kind of mystery, we could say, but it releases the power of God and it ignites our heart with a passion for Him. It is powerful and it is enjoyable. But Paul says, I will pray in the Spirit, but he also says, I will pray with my mind. And that means to pray in a language that the speaker knows, understands. And yet this prayer is still motivated and it's guided by the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. However, many people misunderstood the purpose of the gift of tongues and the scriptures that describe it. Because in verse 19, it says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Here, let me try to clear up any confusion there might be. The gift of tongues is for the corporate body. That is when this gift is used by a believer in a church service or a small group, and then someone interprets that which was said. Somebody speaks out in tongues, it's loud enough, the people in that group hear that, there should be there somebody who could interpret what was said into the language where everybody understands. So that kind of tongues is heard by other people so that someone with the gift of interpretation could understand and explain the meaning. This gift edifies the entire body, allowing the Lord to speak to the whole body. Paul is very clear that not everybody has this gift. He says, do all speak with tongues? He asks in 1 Corinthians 12:30. Yet in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. In verse 18, the gift of tongues is given to all as a devotional prayer language for the profit of the individual as they speak to God. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, though, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit he in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So in other words, if you use a prayer language and you're speaking in tongues and it's a private setting, you're at home. You don't know what you're saying, but your spirit is being edified. When you come to church, if there is a message in tongues, there is to be an interpretation of that tongue so everybody's knowing what is being said so that the whole body is edified. Both of these instances are for edification. One is for personal edification. The other is for the whole church, the whole body to be edified. It's the kind of personal prayer language that Paul is talking about when he says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. So sometimes in a corporate setting, you might hear somebody speaking in tongues a little bit louder than just to themselves. And there are people that around them that hear that. That still is not something that is to be given an interpretation to. That is still for that believer, to edify that believer. So I hope this is clear. Paul says, I want everybody to speak in tongues, meaning I want everybody to have a personal prayer language. And I think you can have that. But the gift of tongues that is a message in church for the whole body, not everybody will do that. Not everybody has that gift. But when that is given, hopefully there is an interpretation so that the whole body is edified. But when you are privately praying, then there is no interpretation, but your spirit is edified. And there's no requirement for interpretation in that case. I would encourage you, I really want to encourage you to try to speak in tongues if you don't. You can get off in your own personal prayer life and your own quiet time, and you might just feel the presence of God lightly. You might just feel an urge to begin to speak out. I encourage you to speak out the words that come to you and just see what the Holy Spirit does. So one way the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray is that he guides us, and so we pray with our understanding. We pray with our mind. Our mind is fruitful. But the Holy Spirit is still leading us in a direction to pray. He's not giving us the exact words, but he's laying things upon our heart, and we feel this is what I need to pray for. This is how I should pray. Another kind is when he gives you the ability to pray in tongues. You don't know what you're praying for, but you do know that you're praying according to God's will. And then the third thing here in Romans, it's not praying in the Spirit, but it's the Spirit praying for us. And the word helps in the Greek is in the present tense. The Holy Spirit constantly helps us in our prayer life. This is a fascinating word in the Greek because it has two prefixes. It literally means to help over against. It's used only one other time in the entire New Testament, and it's in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, where Martha says to Jesus, "Tell Mary to come here and help me." You remember the story? Martha's busy with all kinds of preparations. She's making the meal. She's serving everybody. Mary's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. Martha comes to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, could you tell Mary to help me?" In other words, could you tell her to help me in the burden of preparing and serving the meal? A.T. Robertson, the great Greek scholar, said the word picture is that of the Holy Spirit laying hold of our weakness. And he describes it this way. He says it is two men trying to grab a log. Say you've got this big log. You've got this big log, and that's your prayer life. That's your prayer request. And this log is really heavy, and you're trying to pick it up, and you're trying to drag it with you. Have you ever felt like you were kind of dragging your prayers? You know, they're heavy. And this is the picture of this. You're dragging this log along, and then somebody comes, and somebody says, I'll help you with that. Ron, come here. This word help literally means, to share the burden. You pick up that side of the log, and I pick up my side of the log, and we're facing each other. That's what this word means. He comes along to help me carry this log. This is what the Holy Spirit does, thanks, Ron, in our prayer life. The Holy Spirit sees us dragging this log along, and he comes and he faces us, and he helps us. He says, "Let me help you with that burden. Let me share that burden with you." And he comes in our weakness to share the load. Now, one thing we need to notice, and it is very important here, is that we still need to pray. We are to pray. And before, we were told to pray in the Spirit. It's an active imperative verb, something that we are expected to initiate. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit prays for us. Instead, he comes to our aid when we are praying. So this should be an encouragement to us to pray. It says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. It's in the present tense. He does it continuously. This is how we can pray without ceasing. The Holy Spirit stands with us in endless union, coming to our aid, devoting himself to assisting us in taking firm hold of God in prayer. Do you realize this morning that this means that you have two prayer partners? You have two advocates. You have two intercessors. One is in heaven, who is Jesus, and one who is inside of us, and that's the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 34 of Romans chapter 8, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh," what? "Intercession for us." Jesus is praying for you. He is your great high priest. He is your intercessor. You have Jesus in heaven, seated on the throne, at the right hand of God, praying, making intercession for you. And you have the Holy Spirit down inside of you, praying for you as well, interceding to God for you. You could say we have friends in high places. And we have friends in the highest places. And we have this interesting statement, though. The Holy Spirit prays in groans. Too deep for words. This may mean wordless or unutterable. Now, I want you to know that Romans 8:26 is for all Christians. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, this passage is for you. Now, there's a couple of ways people take this verse and what it means. Some think that these groanings are our groanings, yours and mine. The Holy Spirit comes along and burdens us, and we don't have any words to say. We just kind of groan. There's just groan down inside of us. Another view is that the groans are the groans of the Spirit. And we are not even aware of that, but the Spirit is groaning down inside of us, and He's speaking to heaven through groans. And I think that's the truest to the text. I think the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the groaning. Because if you look at this, what we have in this passage is a progression. In verse 22, we see that creation groans. In verse 23, we see that the Christian groans. Some of you are groaning more than others. But the reason we are groaning is for glory. And then in verse 26, the Comforter groans. The Holy Spirit groans with groanings that are too deep for words. He does that as He lifts up our prayers to heaven. When you are carrying a load, would you rather have somebody along you groan with you or chit-chat? Let's say you're carrying a piano. You're moving a piano, and you got this friend to help you. Do you want somebody who sits there and groans and moans and lifts that piano with you, or do you want somebody chit-chatting? So you say, boy, this piano is heavy. I don't know if I've ever lifted anything this heavy. You know, I think we should have hired movers to move this piano for us. You know what you're going to say? Would you just be quiet and pick up your end of the piano? Right? The last thing you want to hear is somebody complaining about having to pick up that load. You want somebody who's just going to grab that other end and groan right alongside of you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He just groans right alongside of us. He helps us in our prayer life. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. We haven't got a prayer. The Holy Spirit comes. He takes these feeble prayers and He translates them into the language of heaven for us. And He does it through groans. He does it through wordless groans. Now, I hope this is encouraging to you, because sometimes we just fail to express what we really need or what we think, and we fail to express to God, but the Spirit comes and He takes those prayers to the throne of God for us. So never worry that your prayers aren't just right. And don't try to impress God and other people with your prayers, because our best prayers are weak. The Holy Spirit takes our imperfect prayers and He perfects them. The Holy Spirit takes our weak prayers and He makes them strong. The Holy Spirit takes our childish prayers and He makes them mature. The Holy Spirit takes our confused prayers and He begins to make sense out of them. The Holy Spirit takes whatever we offer and He translates that into the language of heaven. So don't fret, just pray. You have an advocate. You have Jesus Christ in heaven. You have an advocate on earth. Rather, you have an advocate inside of you, the Holy Spirit, lifting those prayers up to God. You are covered from the bottom up. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have Jesus Christ in heaven. So don't give up praying. Jesus Christ, our great advocate, our great mediator, lifting our prayers to the Father in heaven, and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit down inside of us. They are not giving us the exact words to pray, but they are editors. They fix our prayers on the way up. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. And we're just struggling with that log of prayer. We're just struggling with what we should say. And the Holy Spirit comes along and he faces us and he picks up that log, and what does he do? He begins to moan. He begins to groan. What is he doing? He's speaking the language of heaven. And he's saying, Father, Rick doesn't know what to pray for. He doesn't know what he should ask. He's struggling. He's weak. He doesn't have a prayer. But Father, this is what Rick would pray for if he had your perspective of things. He's got a limited perspective. His knowledge is limited. But if he knew all the details, and if he knew things from your viewpoint, this is what he would ask for. And the Holy Spirit answers our prayers, or he answers the prayer that we should have prayed. And he comes along and he lifts that load, and I think he takes the heavy end. And he takes that prayer and he lifts it up to the Father. And he's groaning and he's moaning and he's praying on your behalf. And Jesus Christ is sitting up there in heaven. And he sees that prayer being offered. And what does he do? He takes that prayer. He goes over to the mercy seat. He sprinkles some of his blood from the mercy seat on that prayer, and he signs his name to that prayer. And together, our great advocates, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, offer a perfect prayer up to God. Our prayers are edited on the way up. And what happens is, you got to understand, this is really great. Do you know that you have God praying to God in the name of God on your behalf? You have God, the Holy Spirit, praying to God the Father through the name of God the Son, praying on your behalf. And I want you to know that those prayers are answered every single time, because the Holy Spirit knows the will of God. And even if our prayers are weak and they're confusing, the Holy Spirit edits them. He fixes them on the way up so they come out just right at God's throne. And God hears the prayers of the Spirit. He knows the will of the Spirit, and he answers those prayers every single time. The prayer that is initiated in heaven, the prayer that has begun in heaven, is answered in heaven. And don't ever think that God is limited because you can't express things in words. You are not limited to the work of God by the words that you speak. The Holy Spirit prays with you, for you, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Too deep for words. That's the language of heaven that God knows. And so I'm going to encourage you to pray and don't give up. Just don't give up praying, because it's your weakness. It's in your weakness that God answers and God sends his Spirit. You have a divine prayer partner. You actually have two, that are editing and fixing your prayers on the way to heaven. And the final thought here this morning is the product, verse 27. It gives the result of all of this. So God the Father searches our hearts, and God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. They are perfect harmony one with another. And these prayers begin in heaven. They get God's attention, and God answers. Now, there's a story of a poor orphan boy. I actually saw Dave Gamble post this this week with a grandchild. And I've seen this a couple different ways. I don't know if the story is true. I think perhaps it was true and maybe got changed over the years. But even if it's not true, it's a good story. It's a good lesson for us. This orphan boy never learned to read. All he ever learned was the first few letters of the alphabet. After his parents died, he was dragged out into a very unfriendly world. He lived a very difficult life. Once he heard a minister say in a church that if people would pray to God, no matter what it was for, God would send that person help. So that was something that he never forgot. Some years later, he went to work on a farm, and one day he was sent out into the field to look after some sheep. He was having a really hard time, and he reached the end of his patience. He didn't know what to do. He was afraid if he didn't do a good enough job, he'd lose his employment. And then he recalled what the pastor said. If you will just call out to the Lord, he will help you and send you help no matter what. So he knelt down near a hedge, and someone going down the road heard a voice on the other side of the hedge, and he stopped to see who was speaking. And he found this little boy on his knees, and he was just saying, A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E. That's all he knew of the alphabet. The man looked at the kid and said, what in the world are you doing? The boy said, well, I'm praying. The man said, that's not praying, that's just repeating the alphabet. The boy said, I don't know how to pray, but I knew if I just named the letters, God would take them and make them into a prayer and answer my request. Thank God for an interpreter. An interpreter who knows the language of heaven and knows the language on earth. Who takes our prayers and fixes them on the way up. One other thought before we close the message this morning. We all know Romans 8:28. It's one of the best known verses in the Bible. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I want you to notice how verse 26 begins. Right there toward the beginning, it says, for we do not know. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But Romans 8:28 says we know. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How do we get from the we don't know, we do not know, to the we know? It's the intercessory prayer of the Holy Spirit in between. Because the Holy Spirit is praying on my behalf, because the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf, he's interceding in your weakness. He's speaking the language of heaven. Because the Holy Spirit is your intercessor, your advocate this morning, you can be sure that all things are going to work together for good. You know, I don't know what's always good for me. I don't know how to pray in my life because I could be wrong. But I'll tell you what, I give the Holy Spirit permission to edit my prayers anytime to make sure my prayers are according to the will of God. And then I know that all things work together for good. The same people in verse 26 are the same people in verse 28. The same people who did not know how to pray are the ones who know that all things work together for good. You can't get to verse 28 without going through verses 26 and 27. There'll be times in your life when you haven't got a prayer. You don't know what to pray. You don't know what the words are. You're so confused, you don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit picks up that log and he prays the language of heaven, moaning and groaning on your behalf. And he prays that and lifts that up to heaven, and the Father understands that language and he does the Spirit's will. I don't know where you're at today. You might be here when you're here today and I haven't got a prayer for certain things. I don't know what to say. Life is hard. Life is difficult. I can't put it into words what I need. I don't even know what I need. I got good news for you this morning. The Holy Spirit prays in your weakness. Because you are weak, you have his attention. And you're not alone in this thing. He's your helper. He's come alongside of you to help you. And that log that you're trying to carry around, that prayer that you're trying to carry around, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is there today facing you saying, we're going to do this together. And he's going to take the heavy end and he's really going to do the lifting and he's going to lift it up to God on your behalf. But that does not mean that you don't pray. You still pray. That's your responsibility. You pray. You pick up your end of the log. But the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And I don't know about you, but when I discovered this truth, to me, it was so liberating and so freeing. Holy Spirit is praying. Jesus is praying. God praying to God in the name of God on your behalf, on my behalf. We can't lose. Have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning. Father, today, you know where each of us are, and you know the struggles in life, the struggles that we have sometimes to even pray. I pray today that this message would be freeing as we just today become assured that you help us, that you are the helper, and you are a tremendous help in our prayer life. We just want to commit the things of our life to you. We want to say to you today, Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us in our prayer life. But also, we want to give you permission to edit our prayers and make them what they should be, just to fix them on the way up. I mean, you know our heart. You know our heart is in the right place. You know our heart is to serve you and to worship you. And sometimes our prayers don't make sense, but Lord, you make sense of them. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a couple minutes before 12, and I think I think I'd like us to come to the altar this morning. If you would do that, if you feel like you would like to do that, I think I'd like us to come and stand at the altar. Tanya suggested a book to me. It was called Prayer on Fire, and I've been reading it, and basically it is the Holy Spirit. God is a fire. Throughout the Bible, God is fire. God is pictured as fire. And if you've got what we can do, what we're supposed to do, and what God can do answering by fire, great things are going to happen. And so it's my prayer that God sets us on fire. God sets our prayers on fire. And that's through the aid of the Holy Spirit. And in that book, he gives a number of examples of prayer and how you can call upon God as a fire to answer those prayers. And I just like this to come and pray in unison, a corporate body today, these prayers. You know, prayer can be individual or prayers can be corporately done. So I'm going to encourage you to come. Which one are we going to sing? That Light the Fire? Let's sing Light the Fire as we come.
I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is hungry, but my flesh is so weak. So light the fire in my soul. Fire in my heart again.
light the fire. Send the fire of your Holy Spirit to us today. Oh, Lord, we pray. Sia, could you put my PowerPoint back up there for a minute, please? I think there's a slide altar time on there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Light the fire in our hearts, Jesus. Light the fire. Here's our verse. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That next paragraph is a prayer. I'd like us to read it together. I'd like us to make it a prayer from your heart, a prayer for us corporately as a church. Okay, let's just not say it. Let's pray it together. Father, there is no sense pretending. You know the impotence of my prayer life. You promised to pray for me and in me so that your prayer life becomes my prayer life. I trust you to keep that promise in me now as I pray. Isn't that powerful? His prayer life becomes our prayer life. The fire of answered prayer. You know, when Elijah withstood the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, that throughout that challenge, and he says, the God who answers by fire, he is God. We need a God who answers by fire. We need a God to show himself real in our world. This world is looking for answers. Unfortunately, they're looking for answers in all the wrong places. They want to see which God has power. Our God is the all-powerful one. But you know, God, our God has limited himself in many ways to act according to the prayers of his people. So if the people aren't praying, God doesn't act like he wants to. It's part of the mystery of God. He's sovereign, and yet he's dependent upon our prayers. So here's the prayer that I'd like us to pray together, that second bullet point up there. All right, ready together. Father God, send your flaming presence into my prayer life today. Take the dry tinder of my inner life and show yourself to be the God who answers by fire. And the fire of his face. Psalm 67, 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let's pray that next bullet together. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with your blazing presence. Take the veil off our eyes as we gaze on the noonday sun of your glory. We want the nations to be drawn to your salvation. And here's one more. I love this one. This really has to do with the Holy Spirit, as we've been talking about. In Luke 24 and Acts 1:4, the promise, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Let's pray together. Father, I am tired of being unclothed. Today, I put on the new clothes of your Holy Spirit power. You have promised them to me. They fit perfectly. May they draw attention to you all day long. Amen. Amen. We wear these clothes. We wear the Holy Spirit. We wear Jesus Christ as a garment, the scriptures tell us. Why do we put on Christ? We put on Christ so that the world may see him. That the world may know that he's a living God and that he is a powerful God. And now, part of those disciples, they were clothed with power from on high. My prayer is that we are clothed with power from on high. We are clothed with the Holy Spirit. Remember, we've talked about the Holy Spirit just doesn't indwell us. He wants to pour out of us. And just like that water and that anointing flowed from Ezekiel's temple and flowed down to the Dead Sea, everything it touched in its way became living, became alive, that we might be carriers of the living Christ, the living gospel, the living word. Holy Spirit, we pray today that you would come and that you would clothe us, that you would anoint us with your power. Lord, today we want to take off anything that does not represent you. We want to take off these garments that are spotted by the flesh, that are worn and soiled and dirty by the flesh. And we put on new clothes today. We put on the clothes of righteousness. We wear righteousness. We wear light as a garment today. And Lord, I pray that as we go from this place today, that we are going to be dressed in these clothes. We're going to be walking under the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that the fire would fall upon our life, that others might see us burning for Christ, that they might see these clothes that we are wearing representing you and be attracted to you. We pray, Lord, that we would be an attraction for Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and help us, we pray. And light the fire in our hearts once again. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to know I'm praying for you this week. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to be praying that as you are praying, and I want you to picture today that illustration of the log. And I want you to picture the Holy Spirit come and taking that log for you and lifting it up to heaven. And I want you to know that as you're praying, the Holy Spirit is fixing that prayer on the way up. So it'll be just what you need. And I'll be praying for you this week. And you pray with that analogy, that illustration in mind. And great things will happen in your life. God, I just can't get over this. God praying to God in the name of God on your behalf. God, God bless you. You are dismissed.